Imagine walking into a store, right? You grab this expensive premium video game case off the shelf, you pay full price for it, and you drive home. You're super excited. You peel off that annoying shrink wrap, pop open the plastic clasp, and look inside. And there is no disc,
Nothing.
no cartridge, nothing. All you find is this tiny little sticky note with a 25-digit password printed on it, essentially just telling you to go online and download the game from a server. You literally just paid $80 for an empty box.
Yeah, I mean, it is the ultimate anticlimax. You're getting all the packaging, the marketing, that whole aesthetic of ownership, but none of the actual substance.
Exactly. And that exact scenario is what millions of gamers woke up to on Tuesday, June 24, 2026, because the entire gaming world was, holding its breath for Rockstar Games to drop the pre-order details for GTA 6, which is undeniably the most anticipated game of the decade.
Oh, absolutely.
But buried at the very end of this massive bombshell announcement was one tiny sentence that just completely broke the internet. Rockstar confirmed that the physical edition of GTA VI will literally just be a download code in a box. Absolutely no Blu-ray disc.
And we really cannot overstate the gravity of this move. Like, yes, we've seen games go digital only before Alan Wake 2. They kind of tested those waters back in 2023. But GTAV is projected to be the biggest entertainment launch in human history. So when a juggernaut like Rockstar makes a move this aggressive, they aren't just making a choice for their own software. They're setting a new baseline. Where they go, the rest of the industry follows.
Okay, let's unpack this because our mission for today's deep dive is to figure out if this empty box signals the official death of true game ownership. And we are pulling from a huge stack of sources today to figure this out. We've got reporting from Kotaku's Ethan Gotch. We have on-the-ground interviews from Polygon, industry forecasts from Circana, and even some insights from right-to-repair activists like Louis
There's a
Rossman.
lot to cover.
It is, yeah. We're going to look at the underlying mechanics of why this is happening right now, the legal loopholes making it possible, and, what this massive shift actually means for your digital rights.
And I think if we really want to understand the why here, we have to start by looking at the basic economics of this decision. Because, standard economic logic dictates that if a consumer is getting less physical material, they should probably be paying less.
Right, that makes sense.
But Rockstar's pricing strategy just defies that completely. So the newly announced key dates are November 12, 2026 for the physical box shipping and November 19 for the official launch. And the standard edition is priced at $79.99.
Wow.
Yeah. And the ultimate edition is $99.99.
And with a very specific, bolded disclaimer that the Ultimate Edition features limited stock, which is just fascinating to me because, if there is no physical disc, what exactly is limited?
Exactly. It's artificial scarcity.
It's artificial scarcity by design. They are basically leveraging that FOMO, that fear of missing out, to panic consumers into dropping $100 for what, digital currency and some exclusive vehicles, even though they could theoretically generate an infinite number of those download
I
codes.
mean, it's a brilliant, if highly cynical, marketing tactic. But the true point of friction for most people is that $80 standard price tag.
Yeah, I really struggle to justify an $80 price tag for a piece of paper. We watched the industry slowly creep from $60 to $70 over the last console generation. But massive system-selling titles like Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and Elden Ring, they head the line at $69.99.
And they actually manufactured a physical product for you.
Right, a physical cartridge or a disc. So a $10 price hike for an empty plastic case just feels completely contradictory to Rockstar's official narrative.
Well, the disconnect between Rockstar's public reasoning and their internal math is it's pretty stark. So officially, Rockstar points to the sheer technical footprint of the game. Industry leaks and data mining, they suggest GTA VI comes in at over 200 gigabytes.
That is massive.
It's huge. And Rockstar argues that manufacturing multi-layer, high-capacity Blu-ray discs for a game that big is prohibitively expensive. Plus, they claim that forcing everyone to download the game ensures a unified, bug-free, day-one patched experience.
I mean, on the surface, that sounds perfectly reasonable, right? Games are incredibly complex now, and nobody wants to play a buggy mess off a 1.0 disc.
It sounds reasonable until you look closely at their own history. Ethan Gotch, the senior writer over at Kotaku, completely dismantled this defense. He pointed out that back in 2018, Rockstar released Red Dead Redemption 2, which was a massive 150-gigabyte game.
Oh, I remember that install taking forever.
Right. And their solution back then wasn't to abandon physical media. They simply shipped the game with two disks. One was a data disk, used purely to install the base assets to your hard drive, and the other was a play disc just to verify ownership.
Okay, so wait. If they possessed the logistical capability to ship a dual disc game 8 years ago, they certainly have the capability to do it in 2026.
Precisely. So it's not a matter of technical limitation. It's a deliberate choice to cut overhead.
Wow. Okay, so let's look at the actual manufacturing pipeline then. What does this save them?
Well, when a publisher prints a physical game, they have to pay to stamp the dual-layer Blu-ray, print the plastic cases, print the cover art, shrink-wrap the product, load them onto shipping pallets, distribute them globally, and then on top of all that, give a percentage of the sale to retailers like Best Buy or Target.
That sounds expensive.
It is. That entire process costs publishers roughly $8 to $12 per copy. So if we make a very conservative estimate that Rockstar sells, say, 10 million physical copies of GTA VI at launch, replacing that disc with the generated code drops their physical media production cost to practically pennies.
Wait, so 10 million copies times 10 bucks?
That is an immediate frictionless savings of $80 to $120 million.
That is a staggering amount of overhead just wiped off the balance sheet. But, I mean, it feels like they are charging us a premium for their own corporate efficiency. They save $100 million, and we still pay an extra 10 bucks.
Yeah, and that $100 million in production savings, that's just the appetizer. The main course is a total annihilation of the secondhand market.
Oh, right. Used games.
Yeah, exactly. When you buy a disc, you can beat the game and trade it into GameStop for 30 bucks. GameStop then turns around and sells it to someone else for 55.
Mm.
Rockstar sees absolutely $0 from that second transaction.
Nothing.
Right. But a 25-digit download code operates completely differently on the back end. The moment you type that code into your console, the digital storefront associates a cryptographic token with your specific account ID. It is permanently bound to you.
So you can't lend it to a friend? You can't list it on eBay?
The used game market for GTA ZI is dead on arrival. Every single person who wants to play this title will have to pay Rockstar directly at full retail price.
So with Rockstar pocketing upwards of $100 million in physical savings, hiking the base price, and securing 100% of the game's revenue stream forever, we have to look at the collateral damage here. Because when a publisher monopolizes distribution like this, somebody else is footing the bill.
Yeah, and the fallout from this shift primarily impacts three specific demographics, starting with physical retailers. The financial markets reacted to this instantly. On the day of the announcement, GameStop's stock plummeted by 4.7%.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, the market understands that a consumer has zero incentive to drive to a brick-and-mortar store to buy a plastic box with a code in it when they can simply click purchase on their digital dashboard from the couch.
Although the only carrot Rockstar kind of dangled for the physical box was that November 12th shipping date. You get your code a week before the game launches on the 19th, which gives you a 7-day window to preload the 200 gigabytes.
Right.
But a preload head start isn't enough to keep a massive retail chain afloat.
It isn't. And ironically, the people who actually need physical stores the most, offline and rural gamers, are entirely left out in the cold by this model. Polygon actually did a deep dive into this demographic, interviewing gamers across rural America to understand the logistical nightmare of massive digital downloads.
And here is where it gets really interesting, because the infrastructure reality just hits so hard. Like, if you are sitting at home right now on an average U.S. broadband connection, let's call it 100 megabits per second, downloading a 200 gigabyte file is going to completely saturate your network for about 4 to 5 hours.
Which is annoying, but doable.
Doable, right. But Polygon spoke with individuals pulling down only 5 megabits per second. At those rural speeds, this isn't an afternoon download. You are leaving your console running continuously for 4 or 5 days just to play a game you already paid for.
And that assumes the download doesn't fail midway. And crucially, it assumes you don't have a data cap.
Oh, true.
Yeah, many satellite or mobile internet providers throttle or heavily charge for data usage over a certain threshold. And furthermore, consider military personnel deployed overseas or on ships, or gamers in developing regions with spotty infrastructure. Without a physical disk containing the core executable files, they are completely locked out of the cultural zeitgeist.
I do see some people defending this move online, though, by pointing to the environmental benefits. They argue that, you know, eliminating tens of millions of plastic disks, plastic cases, and the carbon emissions from freight shipping, that's a massive win for the planet.
And reducing plastic waste is undeniably good.
It is. But we are completely ignoring the immense power consumption of the alternative. transmitting 200 gigabytes of data to tens of millions of individual consoles simultaneously requires massive server farms to spool up. We are effectively just trading visible plastic pollution for an invisible, massive strain on the electrical grid.
It is a profound shift in resource allocation. But the most vocal pushback isn't coming from environmentalists or even rural gamers. It's coming from game preservationists. Activists like Ross Scott have been sounding the alarm on this for years.
Oh, yeah, the preservation community is furious.
Right, and their core argument is about the nature of what you are actually purchasing. When you buy a code, you are fundamentally not buying a game. You are purchasing a license.
You are buying a temporary permission slip to access data stored on someone else's computer.
Exactly. Think about the mechanics of how these digital games boot up. When you launch a digital title, the console sends a quick ping to an authentication server to verify that your account still holds a valid license. If that server is down, or if the publisher decides to shut it off completely 10 years from now, the game will simply refuse to open. We have a mountain of historical precedent for this.
PT is the famous one, right? That Silent Hills horror demo.
PT is the quintessential example. Konami delisted it, and it became impossible to download. People were literally selling physical PS4 hard drives with the demo installed for thousands of dollars because the data was gone from the servers.
That's wild.
We saw it with Scott Pilgrim vs. the World 2, which vanished from digital storefronts for 7 years due to licensing disputes. And we see it constantly with the Forza Motorsport series, where older titles are permanently wiped from the store because the contracts for the real-world cars and music tracks expire.
But when you own a physical disc, that code is etched into polycarbonate. It can sit on your shelf for half a century, and as long as you have the hardware to read it, the game exists. Without physical media, our entire cultural history of gaming is just subject to the whims of corporate server maintenance.
And that fragility points to a much deeper, more insidious shift in consumer rights. We are quietly transitioning from an economy of owned goods to an economy of rented services.
It feels like paying $80 to own a car. But the dealership insists on keeping the keys, and they write into the contract that they can change the locks anytime they want. It really makes you wonder how these companies are legally getting away with treating full-price products as temporary permissions.
Well, the legal landscape surrounding this is incredibly messy, and it varies wildly depending on where you live. In the United States, our concept of consumer ownership is heavily anchored in the first sale doctrine.
Right.
This is a century-old legal concept that allows you to buy a copyrighted item like a hardcover book or a DVD and then resell it to a used bookstore or lend it to a friend or give it away.
So the copyright holder gets paid for the initial sale, but they don't get to dictate what you do with your specific physical copy afterwards.
Exactly right. But in the U.S., the first sale doctrine has stubbornly remained tethered to tangible physical goods. The moment a product becomes a string of digital code, that protection just evaporates. U.S. courts have largely treated digital downloads as licensed software services, not goods.
But the European Union has a very different stance on this, don't they? I know they've been much more aggressive in regulating big tech.
They have. In fact, back in 2012, there was a massive landmark case in the EU called Usesoft versus Oracle. The Court of Justice of the European Union made a groundbreaking ruling. They declared that consumers absolutely have the legal right to resell downloaded software. They applied something called the principle of exhaustion to digital goods.
Hold on, the principle of exhaustion, like the copyright gets tired.
Basically, yes. In legal terms, it means that once a publisher sells you a specific copy of a software program, their exclusive right to control the distribution of that specific copy is exhausted. They made their money, and they can no longer legally stop you from selling it to a secondhand buyer.
So if I'm a gamer living in Berlin or Paris, I legally possess the right to sell my digital license of GTA VI when I'm done with the campaign.
Under EU law, you possess that right.
Yeah.
But in reality, you cannot exercise it. This is where the sheer power of platform architecture completely overrides federal law.
How so?
Well, Sony and Microsoft operate the digital storefronts on their respective consoles, and they take a 30% cut of every single digital sale. They have zero financial incentive to facilitate a used game market. So they just design their digital ecosystem to block it.
Oh, wow. So the code itself becomes a barrier stronger than the law. You could have a European judge bang a gavel and explicitly grant you the right to sell your game, but if the PlayStation Network's back-end server, say, computer says no, the judge's ruling is meaningless. There is no user interface button to transfer that cryptographic token.
The storefront architecture acts as judge, jury, and executioner. It's a reality that right-to-repair activists, particularly Louis Rossman, have been shouting about for years. Rossman's core warning to consumers is that in the modern digital landscape, you own nothing. You are paying a premium price for a severe downgrade in your fundamental consumer rights.
We are starting to see a tiny bit of legal friction against this deception, though, right? California recently passed a law that directly targets the language these companies use.
Yes. California's AB 2426, which went into effect in January 2025, it is a small but vital victory for consumer transparency. The law strictly prohibits digital storefronts, whether it's the PlayStation Network, Xbox, or Steam, from using words like buy or purchase, unless they provide a glaringly obvious disclaimer.
So before you hand over your $80 for GTA 6, you have to physically click past a warning label that essentially says, hey, you are not buying this game. This is a license, and we reserve the right to revoke your access or shut down the servers in the future.
It forces the platform to drop the illusion of ownership. It doesn't legally grant you the right to resell the game, but it completely ends the false advertising. You are fully aware that you are renting a temporary space on their server.
So with California legally codifying that digital purchases are merely licenses, and Rockstar testing the waters with an $80 empty box, the logical question is what happens next? Is GTAI just the icebreaker ship clearing the path for the rest of the industry?
If we look at the forecasts from top industry analysts, the future is incredibly bleak for physical media. Matt Piscatella, a senior analyst at Circana, projects that by 2028, a staggering 80% of all AAA game titles will either be exclusively digital or utilize this exact code-in-a-box model.
Wait, 2028, that is essentially tomorrow in game development cycles.
It is. And Michael Patcher from Wedbush Securities predicts that by the time the next generation of consoles drops around 2030, the hardware itself won't even feature disk drives. The entire ecosystem will be digital out of the box.
That makes me think physical games are on the exact same trajectory as vinyl records. They were going to transition from being the standard way everyone consumes media into a niche premium collector's item that enthusiasts special order.
The data absolutely backs up your vinyl analogy. Consider a company called Limited Run Games. Their entire business model is negotiating with publishers to print small, bespoke batches of physical discs for games that were slated to be digital only. Their CEO, Douglas Bogart, revealed that as major publishers began pivoting away from physical media, Limited Run experienced a massive 300% surge in orders.
300%. That shows a massive segment of the audience is desperate for tangibility. They want something real to hold, something they can put on a shelf, knowing an executive in a boardroom can't remotely delete it.
But the major publishers simply do not care about that niche audience when there are billions of dollars in overhead savings on the table. IGN reported that anonymous sources within EA, Ubisoft, and Activision confirmed they are all waiting in the wings.
Oh, of course they are.
EA is reportedly considering the code-in-box model for future FIFA and Battlefield titles. Yep. Ubisoft is analyzing it for the Assassin's Creed franchise. They all want the financial benefits of an all-digital ecosystem. But they were terrified of the consumer backlash.
I see. They were waiting for someone big enough to absorb the initial outrage. They are using GTA Sus as a human shield. If gamers collectively swallow this $80 empty box, the floodgates open for everyone else.
Exactly.
So if you're listening to this and feeling entirely helpless about the evaporation of your digital rights, what are the actual mechanisms to fight back?
Well, the most powerful tool you have is patience. You have to vote with your wallet by refusing to pre-order. Digital economies naturally devalue software over time. If you wait, the price will plummet. We all watched the original GTA V get given away completely for free on the Epic Games Store multiple times. If you can conquer that day one FOMO, you don't have to pay premium prices for a temporary license.
Just starve the launch day revenue numbers.
Right. And second, actively support platforms that respect your ownership. A prime example is GOG.com. They operate on a strictly DRM-free policy. When you buy a game on GOG, you aren't just unlocking an account entitlement, you are downloading a complete standalone executable file.
So it never pings an authentication server?
Never. You can back that file up to an external hard drive, put it in a safe, and install it on a laptop 30 years from now, entirely offline. Rockstar will likely never put their games on GOG, but spending your money there sends a definitive market signal.
There is also a massive grassroots political movement gaining traction in Europe right now that listeners should be aware of, right?
Yes, the Stop Killing Games Initiative. This is a citizen-led petition aiming to force the European Union to regulate software end-of-life protocols. The law would mandate that if a publisher decides to shut down a game's servers, they must provide a final patch that either removes the online authentication requirement or provides the community with the binary tools to host their own servers.
It's huge.
It is. They have already surpassed 500,000 signatures, and they plan to submit it to the EU Parliament by the end of 2026. If passed, it would fundamentally change how digital games are preserved globally.
That is an incredible push for consumer rights. So to bring all of this together, GTA VI dropping an empty plastic case for $79.99 is not just Rockstar looking to save $100 million on manufacturing. It is a calculated test balloon for the entire tech and entertainment industry. It is a moment that forces every consumer to weigh the ultimate frictionless convenience of instant digital access against the legally protected tangible ownership of their media.
And as we navigate this transition, I want to leave you with a completely different angle to consider regarding these digital licenses. As our entire media libraries, our games, our movies, our books, become bound to untransferable digital accounts, what happens to our digital legacy? If you spend $20,000 building a massive digital gaming library over your lifetime, current terms of service dictate that your account expires with you. You cannot pass those licenses down to your children in a will. As we trade physical boxes for digital codes, we aren't just losing our right to resell. We are quietly erasing our ability to inherit the culture of the generations before us.
That is a staggering thought. The lock on that empty video game case is clicking shut right now, and if we aren't careful, we might never get the physical keys back. So keep reading the fine print on your digital lives, keep questioning what you're actually paying for, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.